Chapter 26. Poppy and her bi-movement, bi-generational grandmother have entered Massachusetts like the real pilgrim family they are. Final stop, Hyannis, the driver calls out before opening the hissing front door that announces the arrival of this oddball gang of nervous, can't-sit-still travelers and the other few passengers who now hate them. First off, the tree-hugger dude and the Valerie Solanas wannabe, who seem to have suddenly hooked up, which surprises Poppy, who thought their possibly conflicting, unforgiving politics might mute any sexual attraction between the two. Next off, Daryl, shaking as little as possible to avoid the male gaze and ignoring Richard's unconvincing plea from down below to use the restroom. "You'll have to hold it," Daryl responds firmly, feeling a pit stop is just a ruse from Richard for more gay-on-gay cruising. Volta and Lipa bounce their way down the bus steps and spring across the asphalt lot toward the terminal. Campolina injures herself slightly, shaking her way through the narrow bus door flamboyantly, but recovers quickly, her tendency to bruise long conquered. Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara hop and shake their way into the station, harmonizing a real barn burner remake of Peggy Lee's Old Cape Cod, which even the bus driver still on board can hear and finds entertaining. Twisted Billy brings up the rear, but as he attempts to exit, bolstering local pride in the human form of the letter H for Hyannis, which is almost impossible, go ahead and try it, he trips and falls down the steps. You'd think this would stop him. But it doesn't. He hits the ground and starts rolling. And rolling, oh my God, it's better than bouncing. More energy than shaking. Billy's rolling as fast as he can now, and he may never rise to his feet again. Inside the terminal, it's drab no matter what time of year it is. They don't call it Hyannis for nothing. Only one employee actually works behind the counter, and he greets his customers with a weary superiority. "All passengers should proceed to Bay B to board for Provincetown," he announces over the loudspeaker in a thick New England accent, even though no words he's saying end in an R for him to drop. Why on earth, Poppy wonders, would there be 30 or 40 other people going to the tip of Cape Cod in the middle of fall? Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara see a few other African Americans getting up to board, but they don't even make eye contact in return. Campolina notices gay men boarding, and though there's no surprise they're going to Provincetown, even the one in drag wearing some tacky tiara with the letter R on it turns up her nose when Campolina shakes amiably and waves. What's the R stand for? Rude? It's like we don't even exist, Volta whispers to Poppy as they eye these mysterious fellow travelers and hop to the end of the boarding line to absolutely no notice. See? Nada, Poppy marvels, jumping higher just to prove her point. Lipa sees no other heavy people and can't imagine why. It's a gay town. No bears? No hairy big men growling in good-natured lust? And why are so many of them wearing that dreary shade of meatball brown? Daryl gets in line with Richard, but none of these new passengers could give two hoots about the constant quivering they must keep up to maintain their spiritual energy. What's the matter with these idiots? Outsiders usually support one another. Do they think they're somehow better than bouncers and shakers? All they do is flick their tongues to each other in some sort of coded greeting. What's that bullshit? Freaks, that's what they are, Richard and Daryl decide. Finally, they agree on something. Even as Twisted Billy, in full contortion mode, comes rolling through the terminal door and across the floor, this covert sect doesn't react. Poppy is at first surprised, but then amazed at seeing Billy's new blissful motor skill. Every difficult rotation brings fresh enchantment to Billy's face, and Lipa and Volta understand. Billy has now surpassed all of them in forward-thinking energy, and while rolling may not be for all of Poppy's followers, they can respect his new mobile coordination that, while hardly subtle, could possibly open the doors of perception to a revolutionary circular inner peace in others. Okay, they're boarding. The driver doesn't even bat an eye as Poppy and gang hop and shake their way on board. Once in her seat, Adora is relieved she doesn't have to hide her quivering now that she's harnessed its power. But why don't these new idiots rise to the bait of Surprise's cat-like behavior? She's grown used to the controversy of her companion animal's extreme makeover. It's kind of fun to witness the public shock. Can't they see Surprise as the only pet who could win both the cat and the dog show? And why did that goddamn woman just flick her tongue at her? Speak up if you have a message. The Peter Pan driver even puts down the mechanical ramp so Billy can get a start from the terminal and roll up and onto the bus. Most passengers could never get down the aisle of a commercial motor coach while rotating, but Billy's spiral skills allow him to curl his body and reach the empty seat saved for him by Springboard Sam. He picks Billy up and plops him right down next to one of these enigmatic fellow travelers who doesn't seem one bit perplexed at Billy's non-traditional entrance. Nope, not a word. Once back on the road, nobody on the bus is singing 100 bottles of beer on the wall either. These other cultists are moving their tongues even faster, up and down, side to side, just the way Poppy and her posse are doing with their bodies. Poppy tries not to judge. Live and let live. Suddenly, these mysterious crusaders start rubbing their lips downward while eerily mumbling to produce an obscene sound that is part gibberish, part mating call, and totally incomprehensible to outsiders' ears. Campolina has heard of speaking in tongues, but this goes beyond that. Is there some hidden message she's missing out on? Even Twisted Billy is stumped on what letter they sound like, but that doesn't stop him from twisting his body into an abstract shape that he hopes shows affinity to their cause, whatever that could possibly be. If he expects the outside world to understand his new rolling obsession, he should certainly be open to the peculiarities of other self-help movements. But is their aural bubbling, lip-smacking sexual or spiritual in nature? Four on the floor, someone from the back starts chanting. Poppy turns around and, hey, isn't that the same white Earth First type guy from the other bus? It is, and that same dreary gal is with him yelling it too. They're part of this cult with no name. Now they're all yelling, four on the floor. Why? Can't she just bounce her way to Provincetown to kill her mother in peace?